Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Inspire small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. We got some good stuff lined up for you in the half hour straight ahead. Jack Aldrich is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Jack's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, a great mind, a great mind that thinks about what's going on in the future, what's coming at us. And he's the president of NanoVeritas Group, which is a leading consulting company focusing on business and technology. He's the author of so many books, I hurt myself carrying them to the studio, including The Next Big Thing is Really Small, also Jump the Curve, 50 Essential Strategies to Help Your Company Stay Ahead of Emerging Technologies, and on and on. And he's our good friend, Jack Aldrich. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Jack, you've been doing a lot of work recently on contemplating and studying the future of manufacturing, haven't
That's
you?
That's right.
Talk to us about that.
Well, there's this wonderful quote I just came across, and I was writing about this on my website, and here's the quote. It says, if you're in the manufacturing business and you're not worried, really concerned about what the future will do to your company, then you're really not aware of what's coming down the pike. And I think that's absolutely right. There are so many technologies, and they are the advances in robotics.
So yeah, okay. You're not even talking about the Chinese either here, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm talking about just how the business of their business is going to change as a result of technology. And there are some exciting opportunities out there. That's what I want to focus on, is that I know that a lot of people are afraid of change, but I think you have to embrace this change, and if you do, you're going to be optimistic because you're going to understand how many opportunities there are to innovate, make money, and make life better for your customers.
Two-thirds of us, studies show that two-thirds of us hate change.
That's right. And what I always tell people is, let me ask all of your listeners, can you think of a change you've made in the last few years of your life? And then I ask people, now has that made your life better? And in many cases, it has.
You were frightened to death. You hated the idea. You almost went to bed sick over the idea that this thing that was happening was going to happen. And within 30 minutes or 30 days or 6 months or maybe even a year, you look back and you said, wow, somebody was looking out for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened to me. It's happened to me every year of my life.
Yep.
And I've come now to be philosophical about it because it's happened so many times, and it's almost 99 out of 100 times it's worked out to my advantage, to my benefit. One of the things, Jack, that I've been telling my audience, and I think this kind of in an elementary way ties into what you're talking about, I've been telling them that I don't care what you do. I don't care whether you make shoestrings or battleships or potatoes. It's okay, in the 21st century, it's okay to fall in love with what you do, but you can't fall in love with how you do it. What do you think?
That's absolutely right. And let me just give you a real-world example of this idea of not falling in love with how you do things. 6 months ago, I wrote an article, and I was explaining how Cray, the manufacturer of supercomputers, is now making supercomputers for small and medium-sized businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And the cost was $25,000. But here are just a couple of real-world examples of how companies were using these supercomputers. FC Johnson used those supercomputers to redefigure how they sent out all of their trucks. And in the process, they fundamentally redesigned their how they loaded their trucks and then how they optimized their shipping routes. They're saving $1.2 million a year
Wow.
on that investment. But now I just came across an article that said that Cray is now reducing the price of those supercomputers in half. So where
Wow.
they were $25,000, they're now $12,000. It's still a big price commitment, there are companies who are redesigning their packaging, saving huge amounts of money from that modest size investment. So they're still sort of in the same business, but how they are doing things is changing, and it's saving them money and saving their business in many cases.
Well, and in manufacturing, you know, today, there's so many issues. Is what you're making still going to, are people still going to want that in the future? Mm-hmm. And have you wrung out all the manufacturing efficiencies you can, and is your next big issue shipping, logistics?
That's right. And
hold on to that thought. We got here's Buddy Holly's piped in here. He's gonna take us out, and his crickets. We're gonna be right back, folks, with Jack Oldrich. I'm Jim Blassingham, the Small Business Advocate. Enjoy the music.
The way you dance and hold me tight, the way you kiss and say goodnight. Parade on, it's a crazy feeling.
The Reverend Al Green, ladies and gentlemen, bringing us back, one of the great singers of all time. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I, on the other hand, am not one of the great singers of all time. My website, aren't you glad I'm not singing? Aren't you glad I became a talk show host and not a singer? Well, if you don't know, you just take my word for it, folks. 17 Till, my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you check it out, I would appreciate it. I think you'll appreciate it, too, when you get there. Lots of good stuff there for you. You got 5 seconds, 1 minute, 3 minutes, 15 minutes. We got something you can read or listen to. You can subscribe to my newsletter. Check out my blog. Ask a question on AskJim.biz and just enjoy yourself. And we'll follow you home. We got stuff. We give you the ability to have us follow you home with some of our stuff. I know you're busy, we try to help you out. Jack Oldrich is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He is the president of Nano Veritas Consulting and the author of a number of books, including Jump the Curve. We're talking about the future of manufacturing. Jack, earlier this week, I talked to two guys who either directly or indirectly talked about this topic of manufacturing. One was Ted Fishman, who's the author of China Inc. He's my China expert in the Brain Trust. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about the challenges that China has with regard to their regions. The northern region is doing fine, but the southern region's got lots of problems. Tens of thousands of businesses are still, factories are still closed there. They got problems in the west with some of the ethnic groups. I had a demographer, my top demographer, was on the show yesterday, Ken Grombach, and he talked about the fact that China has this, they basically have through their one child policy over three decades literally artificially changed the demographic landscape of their nation for the worse, and those are geopolitical issues for manufacturing pressures, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. The area of China is not one that I sort of focus on at a sort of a microeconomic level. I obviously follow it from a macroeconomic perspective. But what I would say is that all of those challenges, and hope your earlier speakers, represent an opportunity for American manufacturers.
You can't talk about American manufacturing without under having some inclusion of Chinese manufacturing. And I think what they told me was, American manufacturing, man up. You got a chance in the 21st century.
Yeah, that's right. And here, I know that the field of nanotechnology is a little esoteric to many of your listeners, but this is a
not our listeners. You've brought us on board. We're good nanotechies.
Okay, well, great, because then you know that there are companies who are now fundamentally redesigning their materials, sort of automotive companies, to make them scratch-resistant, dent-resistant. Mm-hmm. They're making them stronger, lighter, to increase fuel efficiency. Other companies like Miller, the brewery, are now including nanomaterials in the plastic beer.
I'm not going to be drinking that ice, am I?
What it does is it helps the beer stay fresher longer. Yeah. So there's a way to take this existing science and make your existing products just a little bit better to give you the competitive advantage that you might need, not only to help stay ahead of your competitors over in the next state, but over in China and India as well.
And you can't think about it. When you think of manufacturing, you just cannot think about the consumer product that's delivered. You got to think about the paint, as you say, the metal, the cap, the wheel that brought it to the you know, who people are manufacturing those things, all the components, all the building blocks of the products that you and I use. There are hundreds of little manufacturing steps that went into bringing that beer or that glass of milk or whatever to us.
Yeah, that's right. Have you ever had, Jim, anyone on your show come on and talk about radio frequency identification technology?
Yes, a little bit, but go ahead. Tell the audience what RFID is.
Well, essentially what it is tiny little computer chips that are, think of it as replacing sort of the barcodes on consumer products, but these little chips are carrying a lot more information. But what you can do is you can then read those chips from your cell phone or another scanning device. But here's a real-world example. There's a small, mid-sized paint company in Missouri who just made a $25,000 investment in RFID technology. And because they can track their inventory so much better, they're saving $12,000
mm-hmm.
a month, paid for itself in 2 months. So they're no longer, they know where all of their inventory is. They no longer have any.
And how are they putting the RFID on their products?
Well, essentially, what they would do is they would put a tag on a can of paint,
right,
so that they would know
right
exactly where it is, how much paint is then left in that can.
Now, if you manufacture some kind of a tracking device that was made in the 20th century, that is your new competitor. Right. You see what I mean?
Right.
In other words, you have to. I'm just trying to point out that other paint companies are not the competitor we're talking about, the nanotechnology competitor. We're talking about however they tracked their paint in the past. Those people aren't going to be able to do business with these people anymore.
That's absolutely right. Yep. And so people have to be aware of this. One of the things I just encourage all small business owners to do is just scan the horizon, look. Not for sort of the fuzzy, far-off, futuristic technologies. There's so much stuff that is here today
yep.
that can be used to helping them put more money in their pocket.
Absolutely. Well, and maybe not go out of business. How about that? In 2009, Jack, I'll take that. It's Tintail right back with Jack Aldrich. We're going to talk some more about the future of manufacturing and nanotechnology. Stay with us.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes.
Welcome back. It's 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for joining me. It's my pleasure. Jack Aldrich is with us, ladies and gentlemen. ULDRICH. If you are if you're Googling him, Jack, are you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter. Jump the Curve.
So twitter.com slash jump the curve is Jack's moniker there on Twitter. And what about your regular website, and how can we find you in your blog?
Yeah, the regular website is jumpthecurve.net, and I blog every day on the future of technology and how it's going to transform, specifically for a business audience. So I think that regardless of what business you're in, you will find a lot of useful stuff for you and your business.
And also, they can find your books there as well, right?
Yeah, that's right. Jim, I just have to put in a little plug. I just noticed I'm at 998 followers, so two more.
Wow.
I'm at 1,000. So
I think we can push you over the edge before the show's over.
Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
Yeah. Somebody, all right, folks, go out there and at least two of you. Put Jack over the 1,000 mark.
Jump the curve.
Twitter.com/jumpthecurve. Let me see if I can follow you. If I'm following you, I think I probably already am.
Yeah, I know that you are. And
yeah.
I'm,
oh yeah.
I'm following you back.
We always want to know what you're working on. Okay. So we're talking about the future of manufacturing, Jack. There's some new, completely paradigms, complete new paradigms for how to think about manufacturing things, aren't there?
There really are. And the one that I want everyone to put on their radar screen is something called rapid prototype manufacturing, or known in sort of the business as 3D printing. This is the physical printing out of objects. Whereas in the past we have created huge warehouse manufacturing plants to sort of achieve economies of scale.
Right.
There are now pieces of equipment that just 2 years ago cost $100,000. So only big companies like BMW and Lockheed Martin and Boeing were using these to print out component parts for their manufacturing process.
Like bell housings for some kind of a motor or something inside the car, not necessarily a fender.
Precisely.
Yeah.
But the price over the last 2 years has dropped down to $10,000.
Wow.
Soon $5,000
for a machine that will do some of this.
That's right. And so instead
what
of
would it, what would it, what would a small business what would be an example of what a small business owner would use it to manufacture?
Well, I think almost any component parts that they might now be getting from China or something.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of getting some of these really cheap parts that we have outsourced over to China, the future of your manufacturing might be right in the back of your business. Essentially what you'll do is you'll get a software program that tells you how to print out that part.
And you buy the printer. This would be some device that uses plastics or resin,
right,
or something like that?
That's exactly what it is going to use for the short term, both plastics, polymers, resins, and then it sort of lays down those and then heats it up and
so creates. think about like a the casing for a cell phone.
That's a perfect example, and that's exactly what's coming. In fact, people say maybe within the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to be able to print out all of the components for your cell phone.
What? How big are these printers? Are they?
Well, they're about 3x3 right now.
To make small components.
That's right. I mean, some of them are obviously larger, but those are the ones that bigger companies are using right now.
Our mutual friend Joe Barker told us about something not unlike this that would be printing out building materials like a wall component.
I have an article on my website about that very technology, and there's a video that talks about that. And when I talk to the construction industry, I say that how you're going to do your business fundamentally going to change within the next decade because, instead of shipping these huge pieces, building components across the country, generating expensive transportation and fuel costs and everything, you're going to be able to print it out there on the spot, and think about what that's going to do for the construction time. Instead of sort of taking 6 months to build certain projects, it's going to drop to two.
So instead of having a stick-built house, we'll have an inkjet-built house. a laser printer-built house. How about that? Hey, Jack, I got to wrap it up. I want you to give us the website one more time, please.
Jumpthecurve.net.
Yeah, you can find his office blogging there, the books and articles that he's written, lots of stuff. Jack Uldrich, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim. Always my pleasure.
We've enjoyed having you here. It's been a lot of fun. Very informative, folks. I enjoyed that. I know you did, too. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.